Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We were speaking about in the first hour about Newtown, Connecticut, this massacre, this tragedy that's happened to first graders, 5, 6, and 7-year-old children and their teachers in an elementary school. And what is God's perspective? We're having a conversation, you know, what's the cause and effect? How can we respond to this as believers? What should we do? Is there hope? Will this happen again? We're going to continue that conversation in the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, we're having a conversation about what has taken place, the horrific massacre that took place in Newtown, Connecticut. And we're trying to, you know, find in it, you know, what's God's perspective? What does his word say about this? Is God speaking to us? You know, has a hedge of protection been lifted? I mean, what's taking place here? I think about Senator Lieberman when he calls us, he says he needs to be a national commission on a culture of violence. Mm. He says we become a culture. Culture is what you're made up of, you know, and in it, that's what's taking place. It's just a culture of violence across the land. And when you see all these commercials for these games, and a lot of us don't play these games, so we don't go there. And the thing is, mm-hmm. we probably need to look at them and find out, you know, what are they looking at? What does NC-17 mean? We didn't know what that meant. And tendency of a child is to take cookies from a cookie jar mm-hmm. when you told them not to. The tendency yeah. of a child is to explore, and to the very thing the parent told them not to do is the enemy tempts them with that very thing. And somehow we have to be actively involved in it. We bring devices into our homes that we don't even understand, that we think we're blocking things and doing things, and they're going all the way around that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's an $18 billion a year industry.
$18 billion a year. And our senator, Senator Lieberman, you know, he says there needs to be a national commission on a culture of violence. Well, it's kind of really simple. You know, we're promoting violence. We're promoting sex, drugs, and violence. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much mm-hmm. what our culture is promoting, making money on it. When you look at, if you thumb through the TV channels, there is, if you just thumb through them, there'll be one rape. You've thumbed the next one. This is like just the flipping through them. There'll be a yeah. murder here. There'll be a crime scene there. There'll be a prison scene, the next one. You know, and it just flipped through. It's like, that's like a year's worth of crimes in one scanning the channels.
Yeah.
And if you see this continually, I mean, the very first part of a program before you even flip the channel away from it is a horrific murder or something with a decapitated body laying on the ground, and you're just trying to, before you can catch your even thoughts, you're thinking like, oh my goodness, this is horrific. And people watch that whole program. They watch over and over and over and over. And we're being desensitized to the destruction of the human body. The image, we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And what's happening is constantly seeing this imagery and playing these games, all of a sudden life becomes worthless and meaningless, and it's not that important. And these are actors that you're seeing playing these parts. Mm. But in real life, I mean, it's totally different. Mm. And it's just amazing to me how an actor would want to play a part that would destroy so many people's hearts and minds, you know, just to be able to get a paycheck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it just sounds like prostitution, don't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So, you know, what's taking place? And so we're trying to get God's perspective of that. You know, and as I was reading this morning about in the prophet Amos, you know, God says he does nothing and says nothing unless he, Amos chapter 3, verse 7, is surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the people first. He says, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servant first. And you think about what he's talking about. I mean, if we don't turn back to him, Mm-hmm. He's not going to destroy us, but we're going to wish we were destroyed
mm-hmm.
because of the calamity and the hardship that's going to come upon the land with a goal and a purpose of motivating us to turn back to him. So we could have turned back to him. I mean, how many parents would have said, you know, I wish you would have listened to me when I first asked you, but now this discipline is increased in your life because now you waited this long.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he says when he's talking to Israel, this is apple of his eye. So pretty much includes yourself in this.
Right.
But he says in Amos chapter 4, verse 6, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things that are written in the Word of God and even in the Old Covenant is to teach us the ways of God, how God operates. And he says, I gave you empty stomachs in your city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not turned to me, declares the Lord. Mm. I mean, think about that. He says, I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not turned to me. I mean, some people would say, well, the economy's gotten bad, and that's the reason why we don't have bread, you know, that there's this weird polar cap melting and causing mm-hmm. this warming of the climate, and with that, that's the reason why we don't have any bread.
Right.
And it's like, God is in control, folks.
Mm.
He's holding everything together. Everything together. I'm going to slide over before I read any more of this. And I want to read this to you to help you understand how in control God is. In Colossians, he talks about himself here. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, says he, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Think about it. He is totally 100% in control, and he's the head of everything. And when things start happening in your life, I think, you know, bad things happen to good people. I mean, in this life, we're going to have trouble and storms. We're not going to be spared, you know, seasons of things that are happening. But you also have to ask yourself, is this a typical normal season, or is this judgment coming against a nation?
Mm. That's good.
And don't tie them together, because one is normal life seasons and the testing of our faith and growing in faith. And the other is God fastening a storm to get us to repent and turn back to him. And so and you can find out more about this on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and watch Is America Under God's Judgment? And it just asks the questions and gives the answers, you know, based on God's word. And so he says, I gave you empty stomachs in every city and the lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. And what was his goal? His goal was, and giving the empty stomach and the lack of bread was to cause people to say, you know what? Let me tell you who grows bread. Let me tell you, I took credit for getting bread before, but God is the one that gives us increase.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn our hearts back to him. And that was the purpose of it. The purpose wasn't to starve everybody. It was for get us to look up and say, hey, let's turn back to God. But he says, you didn't turn back to me. And then he goes, he says, listen, I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain and another had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. How come we don't think about, hey, you know, the sin in my life, the sin in our nation, booing God. It's your presidential thing going on where you're going to choose your leader.
That's right.
That doesn't cross our mind that, hey, you know, it's not going to be good.
It's connect not, the dots.
Yeah, connect the dots. There's some sort of, you know, synoptic gap that's taking place that the devil has put into the minds of Americans. Like, don't these, and what happens is the more we sin, the more blind we are to the reality of what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if we repent and turn to God, that blind mind goes away and we can start going, oh, I can't believe that. You know, you begin
That's
to
right.
see.
Mm.
But the big thing he says, I also withheld rain. So, I mean, God is fashioning this storm, this discipline, this hardship against his people in hopes that they would turn back to him. And so do we want any more Columbines? Do we want any more Newtowns? Do we want any more, you know, Oregon situations? Do we want any more conventions like that? Do we want any more empowerment of the Muslim Brotherhood like that? Do we want any more of this stuff that's going on with marriage? Any more divorces? Hello? Any more demonic imagery coming into our homes through the internet? How much more do we want of this?
And it's only a blind mind that doesn't make the connection.
Right, right. And so he says, and this, then the thing about this too, as I'm reading this, understand this is our future. This is our future. But realize every storm that comes could be our last storm, because it could have been the storm that brought us to repentance.
Yeah.
So don't say, hey, we're going to have 10,000 storms. You know, this could be my last storm. This, you know, Newtown could be our last horrific massacre on our land. Because you have to understand, in the history of America, the entire history, John,
mm-hmm.
based on reports, what they're reporting, this has never happened to a school with this age of children, ever, in the history of our entire country.
Wow.
And so understand that that's huge.
Yeah.
For children that young being killed in the school, in the history of our country, the entire country, ever since, you know, the founding fathers of the Constitution, it's never happened.
Mm.
And the thing about it is like, well, that's important. We got to pay attention. How did we get to the place of something that horrific happening that had never happened in the history of a country?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the future of America if we don't turn back. Right here, what I'm reading from Amos chapter 4. And notice that God's doing this, but then he's saying, you didn't do what I wanted you to do because of it. He says also in 9, he says, many times I struck your gardens and vineyards and struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your figs and your olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord.
Mm.
We got to understand that this could be our last storm if we just turn back to God. We don't have to see all these things that are God's telling us that are going to come on our land, because we can turn back to him. But yet, to this point, everything can end with the same thing. Yet, the church in America has not turned back to God fully.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I sent plagues amongst you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men.
Mm.
That's Amos chapter 4, verse 10. Mm. I sent plagues amongst you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with capturing your horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. God loves you so much that in this passionate love for you, many people can die.
Hmm.
Many things can be destroyed. It's God's reaching out for you, hoping that maybe this will get you to turn to him. He's not going to change. He's not going to mess with your own authority that he gave you. You're going to have to exercise that authority and say, I choose God.
That's right.
I choose God. And then he says, I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about that. You were like a burning stick snatched from a fire, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Think about it. Like a burning stick snatched from the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, apple of my eye. This is what I'll do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your maker. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Wow. Think about that. That's huge. Think about it. And it's like, is this bad enough for us to repent? Is this bad? As people say, this is just terrible. Is it really terrible, that terrible to you enough to say, I'm ready to die to myself and live for God? Because if it's not bad enough for you to change your life, then that's a sad state. If you're willing, you know, you don't really care. If the cause and effect is me living for God and having this whole river of righteousness come back to America, and you say, well, I don't want to live right, but let's just figure a way to do it, then you really don't care.
That's right.
Because that's the cause. If we just say, let's just say in theory, that's the cause. And if you do live for God, live for Jesus, operate under his principles. He calls it a righteous river in Amos. He wants a righteous river begin to flow again. Then would you do it? Would you change your life? Would you change the way you're doing marriage? Would you change the way you're doing your family? Would you change the way you're doing your finances? Would you change the way you're selecting your leaders and your from your school boards to your president? Will you change? Will you repent? And the thing about it is that right now we're not seeing a lot of people open to that. Hmm. Because they'll think, well, how could that be? You know, I went to church once. Mm-hmm. You know, I dress up for Easter. You know, we have a Christmas tree.
Right.
It's just such a religious spirit over the land, you know. And I have hope. I have hope in knowing that if this don't get it, the next thing will. I mean, God's got a whole arsenal full of opportunities to turn. But personally, I'm thinking, why walk through so much destruction? Why have so much pain in our lives? That pain that these children's parents are going to have will be with them forever. And it's just forever. Okay. It's just, I mean, I'm not having that. I didn't go through it, but I can imagine. I've been through a lot. I can imagine it's almost like a shovel just scooping a part of your heart out and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just wounded. And this one father that had lost his son to pneumonia, I believe at 12 years old or something of that nature, that he says, my son's been dead for 1,300 and something days. And he says, I'll be glad the day that I get to quit counting and that I'm with him. Mm. And that's just it. You don't recover from that. You just go on. Life just goes on. And by the way, one of the most horrific things when disaster hits and when you're going through something is when things don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
When we see such a tragedy happen and people pause for a moment, but then they just go off to work. You know, they just say, oh, that's bad. And then they go out and still live in darkness and go back and play. I mean, how many people play in those games today that this boy played? You know, how many parents are already checked in their hearts and mind, not taking the role they should have in their child's life because they have the overwhelming threat of government coming in and stepping in and taking their kids and shaming their parents?
Hmm.
I mean, the enemy just played havoc on us because we've allowed darkness to just come into the church, into the hearts. He says, this ought not to be so. We should not have this in the temples.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the temple of God. When we quit calling the building the temple and start calling ourselves the temple, then we start saying, you know, I got to clean my heart out. I can't have these things in my heart. And so in this prophet, the prophet Amos is speaking, he's speaking to the apple of God's eye, and he says, listen, these things are being fashioned by God in hopes that you would return. If somebody says, well, you know, why would God do that? Well, what's going to happen when we die? We're going to go, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's eternal separation from God.
That's right.
You know, he says that he has pity because he knows what the end will be. So he sends messengers to warn us and to tell us and to let us know about his love and his forgiveness, and that if we repent, he'll turn back to us. But there comes a point in time where it doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God will not always contend with man. And in that, he doesn't want that to take place. But it's like, okay, a whole nation going to hell versus like, here's a sampling of what's going to happen for everybody. If I gave you what you all deserved at this point, and when he doesn't do that, he's a merciful God. We're understanding that. And this age of innocence of these children, you know, you can't help but know. And you hear some of their lives, and the teachers were praying for them. And that was just powerful to hear that. Mm-hmm. But you know, these teachers had to pray against the will of the state.
Right.
And they're watching their words carefully because they're concerned that the government's going to clamp down on them because they say, I pray for these kids. It's like, how horrific is that? That she has to worry about what you as a government official is going to do or you as a judge is going to do because she talked about Jesus in a closet with her kids that she thought the last thing they were going to hear was her voice. And she wanted
to
know
that. That's an indictment.
That's a huge indictment. Mm-hmm. The very consequence trying to break into the schools and the doors and shoot the students and the very answer being God, and you've tied her mouth and heart to where she can't even think about, she's concerned about bringing God up.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's the ever-present help in time of trouble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got to put the cause and effect together and say, you know what? Either God is the answer or he's not. And he is the answer. Mm-hmm. And he's not religion. He's God. He's the lover of our soul. And he's the one that you can abide with, and he'll direct you, and he will lead your life, and he'll forgive your sin, and he'll heal our land. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. I just sense in my spirit, as I've been talking about, and if you would go back and listen to some of the articles and the segments on VFN Radio and the VFN Torch, you know, about preparing yourself. And this is what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a little here, a little there, something there. Like God says, I rained on one city, one town, and I didn't rain on the other one. There's going to be different things taking place. There's great famine predicted for America that's coming, great food shortage, economic collapse. And it's like, these are things that are happening because of how we've turned away from him, which means we can change that because God loves you. God doesn't want you to go through these things. And if it'll just change now, turn to God now, then it can prevent future hardships, future difficulties, future losses of life, unnecessary loss of life. And I'm just devastated over what's taking place, and I'm just brokenhearted over how the church is brought in as a counselor after the consequences. And it's like, that's just so, you know, you're just like when the storm hits, when it's coming that way, nobody's calling in the church and the, you know, people of God to say, will you come here and pray that God would spare us from the storm?
That's right.
As soon as the storm hits and the destruction happens, then they call, say, can you please talk to the victims? Can you go talk?
Right.
Can you go calm them down a little bit?
Yeah, and it's important. It's important for us to come back and realize that, listen, we the church needs to rise up and be who God's called us to be. We don't need to be coming on the back end as a counselor, but we need to be on the front end. What we're doing right now, many are tuning in today and wanting to hear, you know, a perspective on you know, what is God saying about this? This is that. This may not be popular in man's eyes, but let me tell you, this is definitely popular in God's eyes. And we need to see what God is saying. I mean, it's not everything else that everyone's talking about. And at some point, we're going to need to take personal responsibility. At some point, we're going to have to examine the facts. We're going to have to say, could this be right? Is this possibly the hand of God? And we should look at this. And, you know, we're certainly not saying that God did this. It's just a result of a great analogy. If you take all the planks out of a ship, guess what? Water's going to fill the boat. You take God out of the schools, you take God, you know, the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom, my goodness, what do we expect to happen? And then on top of that, you have all the filth that's on television, all the stuff that the children are watching, you know, these games. This is a recipe for disaster. And it's just time for a nation to start turning their hearts to God and stay there. Okay, you know what? We've turned to God in time of comfort. Let's stay there. Let's stay low and let's look to the Lord and let's see a repentance that'll sweep across the nation and say, you know what? We're going to get our homes right. We're going to get our marriages right. We're going to get the churches going to be right. And we're not going to be involved in the things of this world, but we're going to be about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think about, you know, 26 and 7-year-olds lost their life in a massacre. At the same time, I think about how many children lost their life in abortion that nobody even mentions. They don't have a voice. They don't have a voice.
Over 50 million.
50 million, and I don't have the numbers in front of me for how many a day. How many a day and how many per state. And these are children too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And can we only relate to them when they're 6 and 7? Do we not relate to them when they're in the womb? 50 million children have been massacred in the womb. And you're thinking about, you know, why the intensity of what we're talking about? Because there's so many things going on right now. There's an army being amassed against our nation. And what happened in Newtown is just a part of what we're seeing happen everywhere on every corner, every mooring line that would hold the ship of America in place is being cut and clipped. And there's a storm that's being fashioned against this nation. And the church will live. I mean, the church will survive. But my desire, and I'm sure yours is that the church would wake up and repent so this would not happen to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at the simultaneously why this is happening. And we're trying to get to the bottom line of Benghazi when we have our Secretary of State was scheduled to appear before you, America, the Congress.
This week.
That when she's being asked to appear before Congress, that means she's being asked to appear before you. That's your representative. So your people are saying, trying to resolve this, you know, come in. And then you hear something, and if she did fall, my prayers go out to her that she would be better, you know, through that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I can't help but think it's almost like the dog ate my homework. I mean, this is like the timing of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the week that you're supposed to appear before the American people and explain how our ambassador's dead, how our military men got killed and how we didn't send help for them, and how you blamed it on a video yourself, and it wasn't, that talk to us. And that was our opportunity this week to hear from the Secretary of State the answers to these questions. So our representatives were asking her to show up.
Yeah.
And
it's important. It's important. You know, when General Petraeus was the director of the CIA was supposed to speak, you know, there was a scandal that broke out about him, and all of a sudden he wasn't going to speak, and now he had to come in behind the closed doors. And here you have the third most powerful person in this government, in this country. You have your president, the vice president, and should something happen to both of the president and the vice president, the next person to assume the presidency is the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
No, it'd be that's not right.
No.
That's House Representative, Speaker of the House.
Oh, House. I'm sorry. House Representatives. That's correct.
Lord, but no.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. John Boehner. But you have the Secretary of State. This is a powerful position that she's in, and she's only have a few days before the end of the year to testify. And she's not showing up, and this is so important. And it's been reported that John Kerry is going to be assuming her position, and it's going to be like, you know, it's okay, let her go. And it's like, come on now.
Well, you know, she built her case first. She showed up on a interview show with Barbara Walters to say, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And then after she lays that foundation, then she says, out of exhaustion, she fainted and hit her head. And supposedly what they're reporting, if she resigns from the position of Secretary of State, she doesn't have to report before Congress. But I believe as a citizen, we can be subpoenaed to appear before Congress because that is the people asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Petraeus came in after he resigned anyway.
Yeah, and the question is, you know, what information are you privy to and all that? But look at this. What I was talking about, all these things are happening in so many different areas. It's like the dam is being broken down. The dam is being weakened. And it's about to bust.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to bust. And people, and these things happen. We got to be careful that we don't get tunnel vision and just focus on this instead of focusing on it and the cause so we can keep it from happening again. And but my heart goes out to those that lost their loved ones. I'm sure yours does too. And hopefully we'll have each of their names on the VFN torch where you can remember, you know, each of them by name. And I just call them out in times of prayer, pray for their families, pray for the city. You know, you're hearing people talk about the comforting memorials. If I was a parent, I'm hearing somebody say, you know, we will move on and we will go on beyond this. And it's like, this is not the time. I don't want to hear, that's not a memorial for my kid.
That's right.
To say, you know, we'll survive this. We're strong. It's like, I don't want to hear you say you can survive this.
Yeah.
But we need to be careful what we're saying at that time, you know, and being very compassionate towards those that have experienced loss and disaster. It's just, it's overwhelming to the human emotions, all the things that are taking place and how to be able to bring that in. And you have to trust God with a lot of it. We have to be careful, though, not to put ourselves in a place that all of a sudden as we'll talk about probably in the wisdom moment in just a moment, about, you know, using ourselves and our own walk as a measuring stick, you know, for others and saying, listen, we're all hurting here. It's all, we're all together in this. There's one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. And to save this nation, we can turn back to the way that its founding fathers had laid out in the Constitution, is that our rights come from God. Mm-hmm. And that the Constitution set up for each of us to participate in the process of government. And the present government, if we don't like it, we can change it by putting new people in. We'll be right back.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And it's sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, mm-hmm. wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, mm-hmm. when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do. Okay, and I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay, religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay, the cross has benefits. Okay, there's great benefits to Christianity, but Jesus got on it, and he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you. Or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, where we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. vfnfamily.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my goodness. You love those like 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes,
And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on
a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. We were talking about what's happened in Newtown, Connecticut, the tragedy, the massacre that happened there. But I do want to say, I really believe, if you get this particular movie, it just came out on DVD, it's called Last Ounce of Courage, A Story of Faith, Family, and Freedom. We're going to let you hear the trailer. We're going to make this trailer also available on the VFN Torch. But I'm telling you, you know, this is so important, because the thing is what do we do about all this? Okay, we're seeing consequences of taking God out of our nation, out of our schools. You know, politicians so fearful they won't even put a manger scene up in front of on a public land anymore. They're just fearful they're going to be sued. It's all fear. Isn't it interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we got terrorists all over our nation, you know, called ACLU. Mm-hmm. And different ones that are just terrorizing government officials, terrorizing principals and school boards and just people in general.
Mm-hmm.
From doing what they know is right, but listen up.
I don't remember anyone telling me that freedom had to be fought for and defended. A man thinks different when it's his boy going into harm's way.
He gave his life for his country. What are we doing? What are you doing?
I've been sitting around here watching it disappear just like everybody else. What makes me any different than the next guy? It just does nothing.
I had been a coward, passive, and even selfish. I kept thinking about my son. Now was the time to honor his sacrifice.
The mayor's bringing religion back to this little town.
This is the Hammer. Warren Hammersmith, your mayor is not fully cognizant of the statutes that pertain to the separation of church and state.
You're all over the internet. We are having some major legal problems here.
Well, I'm very tired of not standing up for what I believe in.
You are breaking the law.
Show me the law.
Well, then you are violating the Constitution.
That is a lie, and you know it.
The council's made its decision.
Mr. Mayor, is it true you're fired?
I told you I'm behind you all the way.
The drama just continues to unfold here. This is
freedom. I need you and Chris off the roof before someone gets hurt.
We can't be silent anymore. The silence has to stop today. We fight for freedom. This is freedom.
It's just such a powerful, powerful movie that was put together. It's called Last Ounce of Courage. You can see that trailer on the VFN Torch today. It's approved by the Family Dove Award, I believe it's gotten. And it's just powerful. It just puts it down. You know, what do we do with all this going on? What do we do when we see what the consequences of pulling God out of everything? And I think that's one huge answer that we can give you today is watching what in this movie, Last Ounce of Courage, will encourage you, inspire you, and remind you as Americans what we've been given constitutional rights to be able to have and do. And it's us. We have to do something for us to have America. America didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. And it is a battlefield, but it's a battlefield of ideas, and that we work this out. And the idea over America is that every man's rights come from God, and that we're created equal, and that we have a document
that can grow with our wisdom, but not change from its original intent. And getting back to that's when we talk about the original intent all the time, because we don't want these things happening in the nation. Well, today it's time for the wisdom moment. We'd like to share from the wisdom moment is from Proverbs, where you think about wisdom is like the proper application of knowledge. You know, all this, we have all this knowledge of what's going on right now, for example, with Newtown, Connecticut, with the Oregon situation, another town in California where they're in the parking lot beginning to fire shots in the air in the mall and then fire into the parking lot itself. And this uprising that's taking place with these different things. And that's knowledge. We know that. But wisdom is, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom's, what do we do about it? And that's why wisdom is important, because you can watch the news all day long and know a whole bunch of things and then just be terrified because you don't have any wisdom. You don't know what to do about it. So the wisdom moment, and you can listen to these. We have them every day that you can go back and listen to them that can encourage you in certain aspects of your life and what to do about the things that you know. It's not enough to know the things you know, but you need to know what to do with the things you know. Now, here we are, the wisdom moment, and knowing, because you can have all this information you're getting, and it will just lock you up. It'll cause you to be fearful and anxious unless you know what to do with it. And that's what we're trying to talk about and begin a conversation and been talking about is, you know, what to do with this news that we know. Mm-hmm. And today's is Proverbs 17, I believe it's verse 4. Let me make sure. Proverbs 17, verse 4. And it's important to know what to do with the news we know, just to just look at it over and over again. And there's so much news. It's just utterly ridiculous of the news that's out there. And you think you're just going to watch it for a few moments. And as they're just about to go off, you're thinking, okay, great. When this is over, I'm not going to watch it. Then they tell you something that pulls you right in to make you watch it again and again and again. This is Proverbs 17, verse 5. Proverbs 17, verse 5. It reads, "He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished." Think about this. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. And whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. First of all, you know, what is the word mock? What's the definition of the word mock? It's important. It's to tease or laugh at in a scornful or contemptuous way or manner. Just kind of, you know, mocking someone. And contempt is defined as a feeling that a person is beneath them or beneath consideration or worthless or deserving of the scorn that's coming their way. So whoever teases or laughs at a poor person in a scornful feeling towards this particular person they're making in front of, they feel like that person's beneath them or worthless or deserving of scorn, is showing the exact same thing towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, "I'm not talking about God. I'm just talking about this transient that's out here begging for money in front of the store. I'm just talking about this person that I see every day on the side of a particular street in our community." And the thing about it is, the Word of God lets us know plainly that we got to get God's perspective of it, because when we're talking about a person, we're talking about that person's creator.
That's right.
And what's the difference between him and us? We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the value of our life's not measured by the abundance of things. That's how men measure it. God measures us like he created us in his image and his likeness, and we're all loved by him.
That's right.
We got to get God's perspective of the poor. Getting his perspective will transform your life, your priorities, and cause you to be quick to notice, pray for, and help those in need to the extent you're able to do so. Because he says, when we lend to the poor, he that's kind to the poor is kind to God. And it's so important. The first part of that proverb is that, you know, you got to be careful to be able to mistreat this person. And listen, if your life is not in some way doing something for someone less fortunate, you're missing God's perspective of the poor. You need to be reaching out and sowing into somebody who's doing it, or you're doing it yourself, to be able to get there, you know, to somebody that's poor and less fortunate than you, to show God in your own heart that you say they're just as valuable as you are and others. Mm-hmm. But then he goes on and says, you know, whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. You know, gloat means is to contemplate on or dwell on one's own success or another's misfortune with a smugness. So whoever is contemplating on or dwelling on one's own success or another's misfortune with smugness, who's looking at disaster that way, you're not going to go unpunished. Mm. That's when we're looking at what happened at Newtown, Connecticut. We should be just devastated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be devastated what's taking place. That's the response.
Mm-hmm.
And cause and effect. We're looking at cause and effect. We're not doing it in a way of measuring things. We're just saying, hey, we don't want this to happen again. We care enough about the people that still are alive that we will talk about cause and effect and seek God's direction for this so it doesn't happen again. Not so we can say, hey, this is the reason why. But it's just we don't want this to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to measure others by ourselves or to say when disaster comes upon a person or that person, you know, I told you so.
Mm.
Yeah. We're to be compassionate, to feel broken towards their loss and their loss in the situation, but realizing that if we decide to gloat over disaster, we can expect a time of punishment coming our way. We might even end up falling to the very same thing that mm-hmm. they fell to, for example. But Jesus said it plainly when he's talking about in Luke 13:13. He's talking about Luke chapter 13, I think 1-5. You know, people are coming to him, but Jesus is talking, and he says, this is the introduction of it. He says, now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with the sacrifices. So he's talking about, you know, somebody did something with their blood and mixed it in some evil sacrifice, and they're trying to compare themselves and say this is mm-hmm. a disastrous thing that came to the people. Jesus answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than you?
Mm.
Think about it. Mm. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the Galileans because they suffered this way? This is so important. You know, and the person that's coming from the wrong perspective is going like, no, Jesus, we're talking about people in Connecticut. And he's like, no, we're all the same.
That's right.
So Jesus is saying, this. Say it again. Jesus said, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? This is what Jesus says. I tell you, no.
Hmm.
But unless you repent, you too will all perish. What is this saying? This is a warning to us and understanding. Listen, everybody's going to die. And if we don't repent, we're going to die earlier than expected.
Mm.
And we need to repent. That's what he says. And like, I'm sure they're going like, hey, we weren't talking about us. We're talking about those Galileans up there. And then he goes on and says, and Jesus, to drive it home, he says it again. He says, Jesus says, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the other ones who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will also perish. Mm-hmm. And so what would you mean, put it this way? He says, or those in Newtown, Connecticut, who died when this evil man comes in and does what he does, this massacre, do you think they were more guilty than all the other ones who live in America? Mm. No.
Mm.
Every one of us has to repent and come to God. We are all the same. There's no difference. And measuring ourselves, you know, it's like, come on. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. The rich man, the poor man, all 50 states in America, God thinks about everybody the same. Who does God love? You can hear about that on the VFN Torch. Listen, he loves us. He loves you. Notice that what's taking place is a message to us to know that we need to repent because our life could end today. You don't know if you're shopping in the mall, if some okay. crazy man's going to come in there and do some crazy stuff, or you don't know when you send your kids to school. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen when we're driving our cars home. You know, I was driving my truck going to an appointment, and all of a sudden, I was T-boned in the side of my truck. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with many people that are driving and texting and calling and computing and not paying attention on the road, I mean, you just don't know. The thing about it is we got to be ready at any moment and any time to be able to meet God.
Mm-hmm.
Turn our lives to God and realize all of us, it's appointed once for all of us to die and then the judgment. Disaster can come either of our ways, but it doesn't make one worse than the other. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 17:5. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.